Today, the sermon is entitled Making Peace. Making Peace. Figured let's just go with a simple title since the topic itself isn't super, super simple. So I want to start off by talking about this season that we find ourselves in. Lucy, I'm going to apologize to Lucy and Greg right up front because I can feel myself getting ready to start pacing. So, so we are in this season in this church where we have commented on it before, and we're in this intense season of it now. I remember us as an eldership really going, we are under attack in 2022. I mean, we've said it at other times, but I remember this being in an intense way then, as there were multiple car accidents throughout the church, throughout the congregation of the church, throughout the elders. Lisa, Ron, and I, were Al and Casey that year too? Al and Casey, their van, all were in car accidents that totaled our vehicles and were dramatic enough that could have caused even more harm or death. Just multiple times over the course of the year. Other members of the congregation in car accidents and other unusual circumstances. And then this year we are, it's not just this calendar year, we are in this intense season again of saying there is a spirit of death attacking our church, attacking our congregation, attacking individuals, attacking families, attacking businesses. And I know, okay, so first of all, if you go to our church, you know that we navigate the spiritual realm. This is a comfortable conversation that we have, and we talk about it quite regularly. But despite that being a hallmark of our church as a whole, individuals all have their own different degrees of comfort with it. We all traffic in it in slightly different ways. We all say it different ways. We talk about it different ways. Some of us are farther out on the esoteric spectrum, and some of us are more on what would be perceived as logical, right? Okay, and so we're all across the board. Okay, so wherever you are at in that spectrum, this is a safe space. It's all right. Okay, we're all different. We've all grown up different ways. We all have different levels of navigation. But I think you all would agree that we're in a intense season in our church. If you have not noticed it yourself, I am sure that if you are talking to someone, you are hearing it from them. Okay? And as a body, as Anna was just saying, like, if one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. Okay? If one of us needs to fight, we all need to fight. And then there's an additional level that comes when we're all under attack. Okay? Where you're not just asking people to come alongside you and fight, but you're like, oh, wow. It's the difference between your house being assaulted, right? Someone coming and tearing up your house and someone coming and waging war against your nation, right? Like, they're both violent attacks, but the response has to be different, right? So I wanted to just shortly, just kind of like talk a little bit about that. Because if we're going to fast together tomorrow, whatever that looks like for you, then we want to make sure we're all on the same page, right? Like that's important. If we're trying to be unified, probably we should like make sure we're unified, right? Okay, I'm gonna be flinging myself through the scriptures. Maisha is great to keep up, so they will be there, okay? And we record for a reason, all right? Okay, so y'all know I love context, and y'all know that I love to make sure that everything is like set in its place. There's a lot of ground to cover, so I'm going to be probably just saying individual scriptures, but trust that they are in context. I just don't want to go super over. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm going to trust that you guys are all able to study and show yourself approved and dig into the full context and all the different things. And that if you have an issue with anything I said, I trust that you can talk to me about it. Okay. And we can reason together as mature people. Okay. So let's go to John 10:10. See, I say that, and then I look at the Bible, and I love the Bible, and I'm like, oh, I should probably read all these paragraphs. See, this is how when I started coming back to church when I was 14, I had a student life application Bible. Okay, that's what I was using, and I believe I still have it in my house, and it is highlighted, like, whole pages, just hot pink or yellow or orange or whatever highlighter I was using, because I would highlight the scripture that was speaking to me. And then I'd be like, but am I saying that scripture is better than the other scriptures? So I would highlight the next scripture. And then before I would know it, whole pages, just blocks of pink, which kind of eliminates the reason why you should have highlighted to start off with. But I know this myself, and I've been this person for a very long time. Yeah, we're going to start in verse 7. I'm going to verse 10, but we're going to start. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm in New King James. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come, this is verse 10, except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says that he has come that they, meaning us, and those who've come before and those who come after, would have life and that they would have it abundantly. Okay, life and life abundantly. And so we see here, okay, is anything that is not leading you towards life, anything that is not leading you towards life and life abundantly is not of the Lord. Full stop. There's a lot of things where we can go, okay, what does that look like in this culture? What does that look like in this context? What does that look like here? This is not one of them, okay? If you are not, if something in your life is not moving you towards life, abundant life, it is not the Lord, okay? Just... That's it. Okay, so when we talk about the spirit of death, we are talking about something that is coming from the pit of hell. Okay? This is not a light topic. This is not a light concept. Okay? We do in the church, okay, and as believers, talk about dying to ourselves. We talk about taking the low road or going to a place of humility or killing off the flesh. That is something different. Okay? Going low, going humble, killing the flesh, dying to ourselves is not the spirit of death. Okay? One is humility, submitting our minds and our emotions and our choices to the work of the Lord in order to bring life. Okay? And that requires us turning away from one thing in order to say yes to another. The example that I frequently use when I talk about holiness or about dying to ourselves is, many of you know, our oldest kid dealt with infantile scoliosis when she was little. Okay? She had a 55-degree curve in her spine, and her rib cage was rotated partially towards her back. What we did for that, what the Lord in his graciousness led us on a path of medical intervention, okay, which led to us having one of the top pediatric orthopedic surgeons in the world in network for our insurance, okay, where we just got a casual referral to him, and this was his specialty that he was doing a multi-year medical study on, was pioneering a whole new version of a cure for this that did not require invasive surgery. Okay, we were the first family in Rochester that he had with this diagnosis. People came up and down the East Coast to him. Okay, and so the journey that the Lord led us on was a path of serial casting. Okay, and what that meant was that Zoe would go under anesthesia, get put on a special table. They would torque her spine until it was as straight as they could make it. They would manually manipulate her rib cage until it was in the appropriate space. Then they would cast her from her right below her shoulders down to her hips, okay, using a very special technique to keep it that. And then she would be casted. Her full torso would be casted for 6 to 8 weeks, okay, until she had grown and it couldn't be held anymore. They would cut it off. We would get 12 hours with a child was flexible, 12 to 14, maybe 16. And then we'd be at Strong Hospital and we would do it again. We did 14 of those casts from the time Zoe was 17 months old until she was the Christmas, she was 3. Okay? It was a lot. When we started this process, Zoe was 16 months old. She was not walking yet. She was not even crawling yet. Okay? We had some massive delays. Okay? Now, those of you who know her know she's a beautiful dancer. She's so straight. It is a testimony of the Lord. I weep when we're at dance competitions. Okay? Like, it's a lot. Okay? And so I remember us talking about what it was going to be. We had this treatment plan with the doctor. I was back with our pediatrician. Okay, Zoe was very small when she was born. Okay, she was 4 pounds, 12 ounces when she was born. A year later, she had not yet doubled her weight. Okay, we were 6, 7 pounds. Okay, plaster is heavy. Okay, and so I was looking at, staring down the barrel of the reality that my kid was going to be carrying over half her weight in a cast, and she did not yet crawl or walk. And I remember sitting with her pediatrician at the time and going, but how, it's so heavy. How is she going to walk? How is she going to be able to do any of these things? And he said, Valerie, you're worried about her walking. I'm worried about her living. We're doing this so that she can live. We'll figure out the walking later. Okay, now, glory to God, she walked and all the things in the cast. Okay, we have all these things of her, like, football player, right? I do have her permission to share these things, right? I'm not talking out of turn. And that has struck me when I think about holiness and how constrictive it sometimes feels. Okay? We were, in a very real way, binding our child. We were doing something that was going to hurt her. And the goal was for her to live. Because the reality of it is that if we had not done that, she would not be here now. There was no room for her organs to grow. I remember sitting with Dr. Sanders was his name. We going into meeting with him had no idea that this was what we were dealing with. No clue. We got a referral because we were dealing with rickets. Okay, and also because Ron was like, hey, there's this like hump on her shoulder, like what, on her back, not her shoulder. Like, what is this? We had physical therapy. She was in early intervention, referred us to Dr. Sanders. Okay, he sat in and was like, oh, textbook case of this, because he thought we were out-of-towners coming to consult with him about this thing. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And I said, is there something I can read? Y'all know me. So this should not have caught you by surprise that faced with something that I had no clue what I was dealing with, the first question I asked was, where's the literature? What's the book that I read? And he said, there's nothing for the average person. And I said, well, what do you mean there's nothing? What do you mean? And he's like, all we have are medical journals. Like, there's a medical article. And I said, well, give me those. And he said, well, they're for other doctors, they're for other surgeons. And I said, I will figure it out. And so he photocopied me these things. And this is 16 years ago, y'all. And I will never forget, in the first couple paragraphs of this article, it said, progressive infantile scoliosis is the only fatal pediatric orthopedic disease outside of cancer. And up until that moment, I had no idea what I was dealing with. And it was like that word jumped off the page to me. Fatal. It's like scoliosis? Scoliosis? It was 2009. I was like, in the year of our Lord, 2009, scoliosis is killing people? And so we went on this journey that caused our kid pain. That caused us pain to walk through. So that she would have life. When we talk about dying to self, that's that. I am going to stop this thing. I am going to deaden myself to this thing that would cause me to die. Even though it hurts in the moment, it is for glory in the future. I am denying myself this now. I am turning away from this now. I am restricting myself now for a future and a hope. Okay? The spirit of death is to kill the future and the hope. Okay? Do you see how those things are different? Because we can get messy, particularly in English. Okay? We use the same words for a whole bunch of stuff, and then we get ourselves in some twisted theological places. Dying to self, spirit of death, two different things. Are we good? Okay, so when we talk about the spirit of death, obviously we mean physical death, right? Like, that's the basic, easy manifestation of it. Okay? However, we also mean the influence of death operating across multiple areas of life. Okay, because when the Lord talks about life and life abundantly, he's not even primarily talking about our body. So why would we think that the spirit of death is only about this physical body? Right? Okay? We're talking about the influence of death operating across many areas of life. It is connected to decay, destruction, loss, separation, hopelessness. Wherever there is withering or cutting off from the life of God. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Anything that leans towards destruction, particularly permanent or long-lasting destruction, okay, is contrary to God's will. We deal with this because Satan is the prince of this world. Okay? That's why we deal with this. Okay? I've told you guys all how much it has irritated me when Ron has gone to this extreme with our children. When they're like, Daddy, they were littler. Okay? Why is there traffic? And be like, sin in the world, kids. Okay? Just nothing about construction, nothing about bad traffic lights, just straight sin in the world, kids. Okay? And he was not wrong. But I had to then navigate those conversations later as he went off to work. And the kids were like, what did Daddy mean by... Okay. All right. Let's back it up, guys. Okay? But because there is... Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Because of the nature of the world that we currently live in, there are effects that we deal with and we have to navigate as a result. Okay? Death has entered the world in a very real way. Jesus is coming back to be the ultimate victor and to bring full life. Okay? And right now we're in that messy middle. And so we see this as our bodies run down, as there is natural death. We can see that we are still dealing with that. And then it concentrates and attacks us in very specific ways. Okay, so I just am going to, I'm going to rapid fire roll through the different ways that a spirit of death can show up. Okay? And also, so it can be just because of the world that we live in. It can come through direct attack, which is where we believe we are right now as a church body, that we are being directly attacked by the spirit of death. Okay? It can also enter into your life through agreement with lies or through unhealed wounds. Okay, hurts of the past. Okay. All right. We record. If you don't keep up, it's okay. You can listen to it again. All right. Okay. So, spirit of death can show up physically as chronic or unexplained illnesses that sap vitality with no clear medical cause, fatigue and weakness that are disproportionate to one's lifestyle. Okay. So, I'm not talking about, oh, you have a newborn and you're tired, okay? Because that's a real exhaustion right there. But it makes sense in light of the stage of life you're in. If you're newborn, like, so when I had Than, okay, I would just fall asleep. We'd be doing bedtime, and I would just be out, sitting straight up, just, I'd wake up 45 minutes, an hour later, everybody would be gone from the living room. You know how sometimes you're napping, but you can still hear what's going on, but you're really asleep? No, I was sleep, okay? Just out of it sleep, okay? If I was having that happen now, that would be disproportionate to the stage of life that I'm in right now, okay? Patterns of accidents or premature death in a family line, generational. Suicidal thoughts regarding physical death, even if they're not acted upon. Self-neglect. Refusing to care for your health, hygiene, or safety. Eating disorders, addictions, destructive behaviors that hasten physical decline. Okay. Ways that the spirit of death might show up mentally. Hopelessness, cynicism, despair that clouds a person's ability to think clearly. Intrusive thoughts of worthlessness, meaninglessness, or futility. Difficulty envisioning a future or making plans. Why bother? Why does it matter? It's never going to change. Constant mental fatigue, brain fog, confusion not linked to medical causes. Agreement with lies that nothing will ever change or there's no point. The ways the spirit of death might show up emotionally. And these are not like all of them. Okay, these are cherry picked so that we can see. Yes, these are the highlight reel. The really negative, nasty, trashy highlight reel. Okay. Emotionally, numbness, the inability to feel joy, peace, or even grief in a healthy way. You should have the full range of emotions when you are in the human life. If you are not feeling the full range of emotions, even if your set point is not really low, that's still a manifestation of the spirit of death in your life. How I talk about, me and Ron talk about emotions with our kids, is that it's like a house that you live in. Okay, our house has two floors, a basement, and an attic. Okay, and so most of our day-to-day life as a family is between the first and the second floor. We go up and down. Sometimes we go up into the attic, sometimes we go down into the basement, but mostly we're here. Okay, all right, so emotionally, you should have ups and downs, but they should be within like a limited wave pattern. And then sometimes you have a really good, and you're up a little higher than you normally would be. And sometimes you're sad or you're grieving because something is going on and you're a little lower than you normally would be. But then most of the time you're in between the first and the second floor of your emotional house, sometimes up, sometimes down. Okay? We tell our kids that like that's healthy, that's normal. If you're down in the basement and then you start tunneling to China, something has gone wrong. If you're in the attic, but then emotionally you're on the roof and you're catching a hot air balloon and you're flying up into the sky in some kind of manic hyperness, that's also not great. Okay? But just like me and Ron don't live on one floor of our house, you should not be living in one state emotionally. So if something has happened and you should be grieving, healthy grieving is appropriate before the Lord. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. Okay? If he wept when a friend passed, how much more should we weep and feel sorrow? Okay? This is still emotionally, lingering sorrow or depression that feels like a cloak over a person. I've been very open about the fact that I struggled with depression some years back, and I knew something was wrong when I couldn't shake it off. When I would say, rise up, my soul, and bless his holy name. And nothing would shift, okay? Like a wet blanket over you. Emotional shutdown after trauma. Bitterness and resentment that poisons the soul. Rage that feels cold, okay? It's just like you're iced over. Spiritual death can look like apathy toward prayer, scripture, or gathering with believers. A feeling of being cut off from God's presence, even though he has not moved. A loss of hunger for the things of God. Believing lies about God's goodness, faithfulness, or his willingness to save. Cycles of bondage to sin, particularly when it leads to shame and withdrawal. Relationally, death looks like isolation from healthy community, cutting off of friendships, or strain on your marriage. Cycles of conflict, unforgiveness, division, betrayals. The inability to build or sustain deep connections. Generational curses that cause relational breakdown, like divorce or abandonment. The lack of vulnerability or intimacy, even when present physically. Financial death looks like chronic patterns of poverty that seem resistant to effort or stewardship. You are learning, you are educated, you are doing your best to be a good steward. And yet it seems like you can't break free of poverty. Loss after loss, jobs, businesses, resources drying up mysteriously. A fear and scarcity mindset that prevents sowing, giving, or investing wisely. Inheritance or provision being stolen, misused, or prematurely depleted. An inability to break into life and multiplication financially, despite prayer and work. It shows up in a lot of ways. And I'm saying all of those because it would be grievous to me, okay? It would be grievous to me for us as a body to go into tomorrow and an individual be like, okay, I'm going to fight for my church. I'm going to fight for these people. And for Satan to blind them to the way it's showing up in their own life, okay? Some of you may not be experiencing this, and I love that. But we don't want you to be ignorant if you are being attacked in this way. Does that make sense? Like, if you are not being attacked, praise God. Praise God. Okay? But it would be awful for you to take up your sword to fight for your brother and for your sister and for Satan to be sniping you in the background. Okay? We don't want that. Okay? And that's part of the reason why we're doing this together, so that we can all protect. We can all fight. Okay? We can all overcome, and we can go together. One of the pictures that we had was of, that someone gave us, was of a circle, like of the body, but some are facing out and some are facing in. Okay? And that's important, because you want it all guarded. You want it all seen. Okay? Okay. Just a couple scriptures so that you can see what the Lord's heart is, so that you see why I said these other things were manifestations of the spirit of death. Okay. Nehemiah 8:10. Okay. These are just rapid fire, but I don't have them fully written out, so I've got to skip anyway. Nehemiah is always one of those books that is earlier than I think it is. There it is. What did I say? Nehemiah 8:10. Thank you, y'all. Appreciate that. I'm just pulling one little snippet out of this. Well, actually, I'll read the whole thing. I cannot help myself, but I'm not reading the whole story. Okay, so Nehemiah is talking to the people, right? So verse 9, Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's the part I was going to. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if we're going for life, if we're going for life abundantly, part of that is being in the joy of the Lord. And that is at the root of a bunch of those mental and emotional things. If something is stealing your joy, if you are not able to step into the joy of the Lord, okay, that is the spirit of death. Okay? I think this is my other verse. Romans 8. Where are we going in here? Oh, this is also good. Okay, we'll start in verse 1. "There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I'm going to keep going. Verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And that is the foundation of everything that we're doing, okay, is that this, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Everything that time touches, okay? Your physical body, your soul, okay? Anything that is subject to decay, okay? Anything that is temporal, okay, rather than eternal. Christ is able to give life to those things through his spirit who dwells in you. And that is the foundation of everything. Okay, what is it? Hebrews 2:14. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. It is the power of Christ that is able to destroy the spirit of death. And so it says in the New Testament, oh, I'm going to quote this poorly, that God has called the foolish things of the world wise. Okay? So we think fighting looks a specific way. And in fact, what we are calling you as a church to is an intentional weakening, because that is fighting, okay? If you fast, let's say you go tomorrow and you decide you're going to fast a food the whole day, right? You're not gonna eat anything, and in fact, you're gonna do a water fast, okay? Unless you have some kind of medical issue, for the most of us, one day without food will not kill you. But will it be comfortable? No. Okay? It won't be comfortable. Okay? I drink coffee. I drink black tea. All of those things have caffeine in them. Okay? If I choose to abstain from that for a day, I am going to notice. Okay? I'm going to notice. Okay? We talk sometimes about another option for fasting that we've heard that we, Ron and I have particularly been like enthralled by over the years, is that if someone could not limit calories for whatever reason, people have all sorts of medical reasons why they may not be able to not eat for a variety of reasons. You could fast seasoning and not put anything, no salt, no pepper. Like, and that's the basics. Like, when I think about fasting seasoning, I definitely don't think that I'm not putting salt and pepper on stuff. I'm thinking like the exotic stuff, right? I'm thinking about my cabinet I'm not doing, but salt and pepper for sure. Okay, but if you were to fast everything, including salt and pepper, you would notice, okay? It would not be a comfortable day for you. Well, I'm going to assume I like to cook with spices. Maybe some of y'all don't, but I like to cook with spices, so I would notice very strongly and very heavily, okay? And so you are intentionally weakening yourself to remind yourself that this battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. That victory does not come by horses and by sword, but it comes by the Spirit of the Lord. And you are instead choosing to step away from something that would normally give you strength or delight or joy, so that you can only find your strength, your delight, and your joy in the Lord. Okay? So practically, what might that look like for you? Some of you may be called to fast food the whole day and only drink water. Okay? A lot of times when we talk about fasting, that's what we're talking about, is no food, only water. A step up from that is other kinds of liquids, okay? You have juices, you have broths, you have soups, okay? Another step up from that might be only fasting some meals. You may not go the whole day, okay? You may fast certain meals. As I said at the start of the service, if you're going to fast certain meals, make sure they're meals that you would normally eat. Don't fast something that you normally skip. Let's say you are an intermittent faster and you're one of those people who does 12 or 16 hours from your last meal to your first meal. Those are not a sacrifice to the Lord. If that's what you normally do for health reasons, doing it tomorrow is not over and above what you would normally do. Okay? So you might fast two meals. You might fast one meal. Okay? These are not value judgments. Okay? The Lord says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You talk with the Lord about what it looks like and you stick to that. Okay? I don't care what you do. I care that you and the Lord have discussed what you're going to do. And that then you move forward with what the Lord called you to do. Okay? Sometimes we talk about a Daniel fast, which is just like, what is that? Like fruits, vegetables, not bread. That's the part that always sticks me. Not bread. What else is that one? No pleasurable thing. Yeah, it's like you just had some rice, some fruits and some veggies. And it's like limited. You're not like gorging yourself on that. Okay? Would you say brown rice? Is that what someone said? Okay. Brown rice from the back. Okay. The church Ron and I attended before we came to Shepherd's Heart. They did a fast. They used to fast in January, as many churches do. And it would change every year what they would call people to fast to. And one year, Bishop Paris felt from the Lord that we should fast all day and then break fast after six. Okay, for everybody who is medically capable, which is a fairly common one. But then the after six, he also was like, and it would be a Daniel fast after six. Man, that was probably one of the hardest fasts, and it was a month of that. That was one of the hardest ones. I used to feel like cooking potatoes from scratch was too much work, okay? But potatoes were on the list. And let me tell you, Ron and I would come home from a full day and I'd be, you know, doing it up in the thing. We got real good at a whole lot of random stuff that month. But you could see it in the congregation. You could see that the church was fasting. We were unified. People were looking real, real hollow, real hollow around the cheeks. People like, pray my strength in the Lord. Okay. So the Daniel fast is no joke. Okay, it's no joke, even if you're eating it all day. It's boring. Okay, for me, it is easier for me to skip meals than to be bored. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, like for me, it is easier to straight up skip than to be bored with what's going on. You might just not do meat. Okay? Not do sugar, not do all these different things. I will encourage you that if you are at all physically capable to figure out what a food fast looks like for you, even if it's no seasoning or even if it's no meat, okay, no sugar, no bread products, okay, there's a lot of different ways. I would encourage you to figure out what fasting food could look like for you tomorrow. People do a lot of other types of fasts, and I'm not saying anything about their legitimacy. I will say that as I have walked with the Lord, denying myself something in the food has always benefited me more spiritually than any other thing. Okay? Here, but you can also do other things. You can be like, I'm not going to entertain myself tomorrow. I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to be whatever. There's all these other things that you can do. What is not a legitimate fast? The only thing that I would be up in your business about you fasting is if you have the nerve to tell me that you are fasting something that you never should have been doing in the first place. I'm going to fast gossip tomorrow. I'm going to fast lying. I'm going to fast watching really inappropriate things. Let the listener understand what I could be referring to there. That is not a fast. That is something you're just supposed to give up before the Lord. Okay. Fasting is something that is good for you to do in the normal state of things, and you choose not to do it in order to pursue more of Jesus. Okay. So something that is good and beneficial to you in the normal state of affairs, and you choose not to do it in order to pursue the Lord. That is what a fast is. Okay? Eating is normally a good and beneficial thing for you to do, and you choose to deny yourself it in some extent, okay, in order to pursue the Lord. So if you're fasting, let's say you choose to fast breakfast and lunch tomorrow, okay? Take the time that you would normally spend preparing the meal and eating the meal to pursue the Lord, to pray. Okay, to declare. We did a declaration not last week, the week before that. Okay, it was recorded. It's on camera. Okay, you could go back and play that over. A lot of the songs tonight would be very appropriate. You can put those on and pray that and sing with those. Okay, what are other things I like to do? If you do YouTube, you can type in worship pads, and it will just do like a, like on the things, like with the strings or something, bunches of different keys. I choose the key of A. That's what I do. Okay. And it just kind of, I like that because those will play and then I will sing over it. Okay. Just kind of pick a note and just go with it. All right. What'd you say? Give you an example. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's see. John 10:10. So John 10:10. So like, what would that look like for me? So I'd have the music playing in the background, right? And it's just, it's super simple. It's super chill. And I'd be like, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay. And I would just sit with that for a moment. Lord, you came that I could have life and life more abundantly. You came that I would have life and life more abundantly. Right? And it's just like kind of humming in the background around there, right? And I just repeat that over and over again. Even without the music, I can just feel my heart stirring up. So this is playing out like exactly what it would be like in my bedroom. Lord, you came that I would have life and life more abundantly. Life, Lord. Life, Lord. Now, I'm not Teresa. I'm not Ron. I'm not any of these other people. I'm not going all over the place. I'm on one note. And it might even be a wobbly note. And that's okay, right? Like, life, Lord. You came for life, Lord. Life, Lord. That I would have life, Lord. Abundant life. Abundant life. Life, Lord. Life, Lord. Abundant life, Lord. You came for life, Lord. 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 Give me your life, Lord. Give me your life, Lord. Where there is death, Lord. Come bring your life, Lord. Come bring your life, Lord. You came for life, Lord. You came for life, Lord. Lord, bring your life, Lord. Lord, bring your life, Lord. Come 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 bring your life, Lord. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? He came for life. He came for life. Where there is death, Lord, bring your life. 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 At some point, I'm going to flip into a spiritual language. Like, I'm just going to be like, sho-da-da-ba-da-so-da-do. You came for life, Lord. Sho-ba-ba-da-so-da-do. You came for life, Lord. You came for life, Lord. You came for life, Lord. Pour out your life, Lord. Pour out your life, Lord. On this body. Pour out your life, Lord. On my family. Pour out your life, Lord. In this church. Pour out your life, Lord. 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 Pour out your life, Lord, that I'd have life, Lord, that I'd have life, Lord, abundantly, abundantly. Pour out your life, Lord, pour out your life, Lord. I need your life, Lord. I need your life, Lord. Pour out your life, Lord. Pour out your life, Lord. Glory to glory. Glory to glory. Glory to glory. Give me your life. Give me your life. Give me your life. Give me your life. Pour out your life. Give me your life. Pour out your life. Give me your life. Give me your life. Pour out your life. Give me your life. Give me your life. Give me your life. Shorabara sororo. Yorabara sororo. Yorabara sororo. Shea bababo sobabo. Ya bababo. Yorabarashara. Yorabarasara. Shorabarasara. Streams of refreshing. Streams of refreshing. Where it is dry, bring your streams of refreshing. Where I am dry, bring your streams of refreshing. Where I am dry, bring your streams of refreshing. Refresh me, refresh me. And so I'm going to pick one that's like an hour or 3 hours long because I don't want it to like stop and then I'm like, oh, so it's just going to keep going. And so if I was alone in my room, I would also, because of what we're going through right now, I would have the Shepherd's Heart call list in front of me, and I'd be going through you guys name by name by name. And I would pray and I would sing over you guys, and I would pray and sing over my family. And if at any point it felt like the like, oh, this isn't stirring me up the same way, not like in an emotional way, but like, I'm sure a lot of you were feeling that bubble up in your heart. And if it ever okay, this one's kind of done, I would pick another scripture and I would keep going. Or I would pick a worship song and then I would go. One of the ones that I love for this is, what is it? Rattle. And I don't care about the rest of the song. I mean, I like the whole song, but I don't care about the rest of the song. I get on, my God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the stone that was in the garden. What happens when God says to move? Right, okay, right. So that's where I just say that over and over again. I don't ever play the song because they don't lean on that for long enough for my tastes. All right. And I would just dwell with the Spirit. Right? It doesn't, you don't have to have all the extras for God to meet with you. You don't have to have an amazing voice. You don't have to have instruments. Obviously, if you have them, roll in, right? Don't limit yourself if God's given you giftings and resources, okay? But a lot of times in these moments, it's me in my room and the worship pads on the thing, and the kids are downstairs and they're doing something else, and I'm just stirring up my soul before the Lord. And he's so faithful. He's so faithful to meet me there. And that's why I just do that worship pads thing, because it's like it leaves you room to do whatever. I don't have to sing a song. I don't have to whatever. I don't have to understand the chord progressions or all the theory stuff or be able to follow whatever. I can just be monotone and just go in with the Lord. Man, you just all, Teresa just, because you're like, sing it, Val, do a little something. and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm totally on a whole different, if this was the beginning of the service, I would have just kept going there. I'm expectant for what the Lord is doing. Thank you. I am expectant that we will have breakthrough. It is really important that we're doing this corporately, because we don't fight alone. And all of us matter for us to attain victory. I will probably go more into peacemaking on another day. But I want to make it plain that in Matthew 5, it talks about blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called sons of God, right? And peacemaking is more than just letting things slide. Okay. At its core, it is one of the most subversive things that we can do when it comes to combating the spirit of this age that swirls around us. First, by making peace with God. There's no victory over the spirit of death without you being reconciled with the Lord. Okay. If that is in doubt for you, okay, you got to get that right. You got to get that right first. But then the act of us making peace with each other and making peace as we move throughout this world If we think about death being the ultimate separation and peace is the ultimate reconciliation, you can see how those things stand. Peace, the shalom in Hebrew, is about wholeness and harmony and restoration and right connection. On the cross, Jesus triumphed over the spirit of death, but he did that by making a path for us to have peace with God. It said Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Peace establishes an area where life can flourish, reconciliation with God, reconciliation within ourselves, and reconciliation with others. Going back to that Romans 8:6, actually, let me find it, because I think the one I have is a different version, the one that I have there. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And over again through the scriptures, they set those things separate from opposites each other. Death versus life, death versus peace. So I'll tackle that on another day. I'm going to encourage you that tomorrow, as you take your time with the Lord, make sure you journal. Write stuff down or talk into something, record something. I expect the Lord to show up with words and dreams and visions and strategies, not just for you, but for others. And in this house, we believe and say over and over again that the Lord speaks through a number of voices. And so why would tomorrow be any different? You're welcome to text us or to share what you're hearing, what you're sensing. Like we said, Tina will be opening her home, and so there is a corporate space for you to gather. We will also have our regular Bible studies, which will be influenced by what we're doing, doing corporately tomorrow. I'm not going to say that they're going to be corporate times of prayer, but they will definitely be influenced by what we're doing today. So our all-ages Bible at 3, and then our young adult Bible study at 7. If you normally come to those and you normally bring food, don't bring food tomorrow, right? Like, let's just make it easy for everybody. Did you have something, babe?
I just want to emphasize something. Valerie did state this, but I'm going to emphasize it just a little bit about us dialoguing with our families. So this evening, you guys notice my Nakaya is not with us, and we can pray for Myra as she's ministering. Dr. Myra Mathis, who's normally singing with us, she's out going to be ministering at another church in Ithaca. She's going to be, she's doing a woman. And so she took my daughter with her just to be a mother's helper with her, you know, which is wonderful. But before my daughter left, I had a very just in-depth conversation. Okay, baby, what are we going to do in light of the fast tomorrow? What are you planning to do? And I had a conversation with my daughter, inviting her into the fast, recognizing that she will not be with us in our house, and to just give what she can give. You know, and the thing is, as we mature in the Lord, some of us who are mature in the Lord, a day fast really isn't a whole lot. Some of us are definitely seasoned and mature. And some of us, we may diminish the significance of the little that we may bring to the table. And the fact of the matter is, again, we cannot chime this bell enough. The most important aspect is that we're together, that we're united as we're doing this. Even if some of us do one thing that may seem more extreme, or if somebody else does something that may seem lighter, no one's judging what you do. The thing that we're encouraging is that we're all together. And I'm also encouraging those who have children to invite your children into the conversation, the dialogue. You know what I mean? And that's about it. Thank you, baby.
Yes, and that is what we're leading into, is that we will have a prayer, praise, and worship service next Saturday. And that actually wasn't like designed. We weren't like, okay, fast and then prayer, praise, and worship service. We set the fast, and then in our elders meeting, we were like, oh, it's a five Saturday month, and we were figuring out what looks like, and it was next week, and I was like, oh, wow, Lord, you see. And so those are always times of going to a new place with the Lord. And so I'm excited that we're going to be breaking things down and do it. I think that's it. Do you have anything you want to share, either of you else? Okay. Lord, you are good. I thank you that you are faithful to open the eyes of our heart and to bring us to greater understanding and wisdom and revelation, Lord. And so as we step into this corporate time together, this corporate time of warfare, Lord, lead us, God. Lead us, God. Right now, even now, speak to us about what that looks like tomorrow for us. What it looks like in our families. What it looks like for us as individuals. I thank you for your strategies that cause us to war, that bring us the victory. Lord, we lay ourselves before you. We are thankful that though we are in a season of intense attack, Lord, you are greater. You are the victor. You are greater, Lord. And so we thank you. Thank you for the coming victory. Open our ears to hear you. Open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to revelation and to understanding and to wisdom. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have refreshments this evening. You are welcome. What'd you say? Eat now while you can, Lisa says. Zoe is running because she's helping. Okay. And so we invite you to stay and fellowship with us through the breaking of bread. And I encourage you to ask questions if you need guidance or insight or just accountability tomorrow. I encourage you guys to partner up and to talk about it. And a lot of us in this room have a lot of experience with fasting. And so if this would be new to you, feel free to ask, and we are here to help. All right? God bless you. Be safe. I'm looking forward to hearing all of our stories tomorrow. Bless you guys.